Coming up next, please join global life and success strategist Angela Carr Patterson for another episode of Soulful Conversations Radio Talk Show. Angela and her guests will discuss the lessons they've learned from the stories they dare to share, from relationships and love to wellness and money. Listen as they delve deep into conversations that awaken your soul. And now, here's Angela Carr Patterson at Soulful Conversations, informative, inspiring, and transforming.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Soulful Conversations Radio. I'm your host, Angela Carr Patterson. As always, I'm delighted to have you join us today for another exciting episode of Soulful Conversations Radio. I hope you're having a great day today, because remember, it doesn't matter what's showing up in your life today. You have the power to change it through a conversation. You see, when something goes wrong, we talk about it with others. If the issue is shared, the conversation spreads where people can discuss it, add to it, and refine it. When this happens, solutions are discovered and perspectives of a better way begins to emerge. This process is what I call a soulful conversation. You know those conversations that goes deep enough to awaken your soul. So I am so delighted to have you join us today. I want you, our listening audience, to do me a favor and send out a text, a pin, a post, a tweet, or whatever it is that you do, and let people know to join us right here at SoulfulConversationsRadio.com or SoulfulConversationsRadio.net. They can listen online that way, or they can dial in and join the conversation at 347-843-4620. That's 347-843-4620. Now we're going to bring in a lovely, wonderful, beautiful co-host. You've been seeing me post about them on my Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and sharing that we've added them to the table. And I am so delighted that that they're here with us. And that is Miss Susan Walsh and Miss Brandy Richard. Let's welcome them. Hello, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, how's it going?
Absolutely fabulous. Fabulous. Happy Tuesday. Hi, Brandy. Great to hear your voice again. And I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Hi, Susan. Hi, Angie. I'm here.
Hi. I get excited now on Tuesdays because I get to share this platform with you. You know, I've learned, I think it was Susan that taught us that a win is not a win unless you can take somebody with you. And so it is just great to share this platform that we've been given. Isn't the internet just amazing, you know, that we can just do so much and touch so many people through this process, through this platform? It's just absolutely amazing. So how was your weekend, ladies? Anything exciting?
Well, we just had some graduations and excited about that for all these folks, you know, starting a new chapter of their life. It's so exciting. My niece's son graduated from high school in Blythewood, South Carolina, and he is already certified as a firefighter. As a high school graduate, he's already certified. Yeah. He's so excited, and I'm so excited for him because that's what he's always wanted to do. So it's exciting to see them, you know, not hesitate. I mean, think about it. At 18 years old and know exactly what you want, I think that is so awesome.
That is. You know, they've got these programs, a lot of programs in the schools where I know kids are graduating high school with like an associate degree as well. And so they're kind of fast tracking them. And I don't know, I guess it's good, but, you know, there's just part of that process that you just got to go through. You know, I skipped the 11th grade. I did 9th, 10th, and then went straight to 12th. So I did 3 years of high school because when I came to high school, I already had credits for high school that I earned in middle school. And so I don't know. I feel like I kind of missed something. Those 4 years were necessary, and so I graduated with the class that was before me. So even with class reunions, I don't know which class I'm supposed to. Should I be in my regular class that I was supposed to graduate with? So it's like I'm a person without a class. Both classes invite me and try to claim me. But, you know, I think sometimes we miss the process when we go so fast. But you're right. To be clear about what it is that you want at that moment, because that could change. But at that moment, that's great, because so many just don't even know. Yeah, they don't even know.
Oh, yeah. Not a clue.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
Yeah, I didn't have a clue at 18. There's no way.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
No, well, I did, but you know what? It didn't suit everybody in my family, but I didn't care.
Yeah, but see, you got that early. I didn't care. It did. It took me a minute to get that one.
I didn't care. It didn't come to me. My parents wouldn't have allowed that one that early in life. Let me tell you what you're about to do.
Right, that was it. Speaking of that, you know, when we're talking about what's trending, I was looking at the Red Table again with Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife, and she did one with her two children, was it Jalen and Jaden, and her mother was saying that she just, you know, the way they raised their children was just totally different. You know, you were told, what do you mean? Yep. You don't know what time you want to go to bed. You go when you get ready. It's just like, you know, you go to bed when I tell you to get ready, but go to bed. But that wasn't how they raised their children. They raised them to be able to make decisions and on their own. So they, what people thought, they were just kind of letting them do what they want to do. But the kids talked about how it prepared them to be able to make decisions and be able to and how when her son wanted to leave home at, I think, 15 or 16, but she said she had told Will when he was a little boy that he probably would leave home at 15 or 16 because he was so matured. And he said it had him to respect what home was about and appreciate it, and how they grew up so privileged, and they watched their parents, you know, pay for everybody's dinner and do this, and the daughter was saying how she went to Disney World and with her friends and how they expected her to pay, and she's like, do I pay or am I not supposed to pay? Because this is what I saw, and it made them realize that a lot of people were using them. So they were able to really see this, have insight, make decisions. And I thought, wow, what a way to trust the process and be okay with that allowance, well, just allowing. And I think if I had to do it again, I would have done it more of her way than my way. Because I don't think I could have trusted back then, but now that I know what I know, I probably would have. So that's why I do it with my grandchildren. So when they come over, my grandchildren say, you know, Nana and Papa said we can do whatever we want to do. And our kids are looking at us like, who parents are these? You know, really? y'all don't discipline them? And I said, we don't have to. And they're looking at us like, who are you? Because we're doing it different with the grandkids.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, totally different.
Totally different.
And it's so relaxed and so much more fun.
Fun, I know.
I just laugh at everything
so
they do.
Fun. I know.
And my kids would say, don't laugh at that.
I know. One was over here yesterday, and Lavette was like, Reese, you can't do that. Leave that stuff. I said, she's at Nana Papa house. She can do what she want to do. Leave her alone. And she's looking at her mom like, do you know where I'm at? I can do what I want to do over here. And they look,
talk
they're
to the
shaking
hand,
their
mama.
Head. They're shaking their head.
It's just challenging to see our parents, who are so strict on us, allow such rebellious and bad behavior when they do the latter.
I know.
So it's because you're seeing the same person. It's not the fact that it's different, because we would have liked it to have been different, right? So
yeah,
we're excited that it's different, but we didn't get that. So looking at you doing it, it's just like, huh? Who are you?
That's what they're saying. Like, who are you? What do you mean you don't thank your grandchildren? I said, I don't spank my grandchildren. What do you mean? I said, we don't spank grandchildren. Well, you tore our butts up.
That's right.
But,
you
know, it's just different. And talking, I said, I can talk to them, and that's enough. And they just shake their heads like, I don't know who those people are. But
you know, it's good. It's good for your kids to see that. Because you know, I know I was raised extremely strict.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you do what you learned over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I had to relearn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
difficult.
It was very difficult because what my parents did was what they had learned. And, you know, to break that cycle, then you have to make some very distinct changes, and it was not easy. Not easy.
No.
But I'm grateful.
The freedom, to give them the freedom, you know, when we say, well, what do you want to do? And they look, my kids are like, what do you mean, what do they want to do? Well, you know, because I wish I had asked you that, you know. So it's like grandchildren, you get to do it again and do it right this time, you know. You know, and
you know what they say, every first child deserves a crown.
I know.
But it's also that each child is different, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
how
I dealt with my daughter was different than the way that my parents dealt with me. I only have one, so I didn't have someone else to, like, practice on besides her. But it was very different because she was very different from me, and I figured that out early on. So the intimidation factor that my parents could put on me was she just wasn't having that. Like, she needed to understand why, and she needed to understand that what I was asking her to do was for some specific purpose and things along those lines. She was a good kid, but she just needed to know why. Trained differently. Yeah. And so I think based on the kid, you employ different measures as well.
Right. Because, we were taught not to ask why. It's because I said
that's
so.
Right.
But I realized that why is important. So that they can understand that they don't become robotic and resentful. So it's not that you're trying to be their friend. It's just that you're trying to teach them to some critical thinking skills, and you want them to think on their own. And I think Jada said it. She said it. She said Jada's mother said, when I was raising Jada, Jada was mine. She belonged to me. She was mine and she belonged to me. And the difference between the way Jada and Will raised their children were, they're not mine. They don't belong to me. I'm just a steward over them, you know, but they don't belong to me. They're not mine. She didn't take ownership of them like that. And that makes, isn't that freeing? That's freeing for the child.
Yes.
It's so freeing. You know, I took ownership
of mine. It's
freeing
for you, too, because when you take ownership of them, you feel as though everything that they do wrong is a direct reflection on you and your poor parenting, instead of understanding that you are just there to be a vehicle for their greatness.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I view my daughter's growth and what she does, because, like I told her recently, I said, I'm just advising you on adulting. She just turned 21. So I was like, I'm not mama really anymore. Like, I'm mama but I'm your advisor, and I'm just here to make sure that I give you all the advice, all of the support that you can possibly need to be successful in what you choose to do. It's not for me to decide. Back to the conversation about being 18 and knowing what you want to do, you need to figure out what you want to do based on the advice that I provide you and the guidance that I give you.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's I'm glad you get it right with her first time. We that practice child, that first child, I felt sorry for him. I still do.
Oh, yeah. She said it was perfect though. Let's be clear, because you might be listening. She would not say it was perfect.
You know, I think they all condemn us. I think they all would sentence us if they could. You know. But,
oh yeah.
But that's great. We're going to do a show on that real soon, and then maybe hopefully bring some of our kids on and let them be a part of it. I think that would be great. So we're going to get on to our topic. I know Maya got a lot to say. But let's get on to today's topic. It's about being an awakened entrepreneur. You know, in a world where everyone is trying to become an internet sensation. I mean, so many people trying to be a celebrity on the internet, which, you know, I'm not knocking that. They want to be a boss lady or get their grind on. I think we've also forgotten, though, how to build a heart-centered business that creates an impact change in the lives of others and even success for us. You know, do we have to trade one for the other, you know, because we're heart-centered and because we're driven to impact change and have influence? Does that mean that we can't earn great money and be successful in our own right? Do we have to trade one for the other? And so I think we've got to learn that the old maps no longer work for this new world that we're trying to embark upon. You know, I see people just try to build it online and forget about the feeling and the connection with people. And then I see some that don't do anything online, but yet, you know, so how do we balance it all? You know, what do we consider an awakened entrepreneur? I know for me, an awakened entrepreneur is someone who knows who she is. And when I say know who I know who I am right now in this moment, because hopefully next year this time, I will have unfolded a little bit more, and I have to get to know that evolved person there. So when I say know who I know who I am today in this moment, but I don't know who I'm going to be in August or September, because hopefully I'm emerging and unfolding and unfolding as I go. So I'm enjoying this journey of evolving, because there's no expiration date on this. And so it's a woman who knows who she is and what's possible for her life, and then can turn around and do the same thing for those that she serves. And it doesn't matter if she's selling ice cream or if she's selling a service, that she can pass this philosophy on. And if she does it well, if he does it well, then they will have success. They will have customers and clients for life. You know, I've got lifetime clients that have been with me, you know, years. I've been in business 34 years, and I've got people that are still with me that's been with me 34 years, you know. And people wonder, how do they stay with you so long? Because it's about that passing that on, you know, passing that on. We solve people's problems through our business, or we service their needs. And if you focus on those things, I think that's what makes an awakened entrepreneur. Now, that's my definition. So what's your definition, Randy? And then we'll go to Susan.
So I think an awakened entrepreneur, kind of to your point, is one that is excellent and knowledgeable about who they are in the world, the service that they provide at this given time and moment, because they will grow and evolve and change and become even better at their field or their craft. But I also really appreciate entrepreneurs and people who rely on their own unique skill set and experiences.
I think it's
really important that when people decide what they're going to go into from an entrepreneurial perspective, that they aren't trying to be like everyone else. I think part of the issue with celebrity isn't so much that people just want to be famous. We can talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they want to be famous exactly like someone else. Boo, you are not somebody else.
Yeah.
You are you. Mm-hmm. And what I need to see in order to want to give my money and support to you is what your unique gift is. have a lady who actually went and got some weave in my hair, which was, you know, I'm natural, right? But for my birthday, I wanted to have a real nice weave. And so I went to her. Exactly. And I went to her and I said, hey, is this your passion? Is this what, like, wakes you up in the morning? Is this the thing that you feel like God has placed you here on the earth to do? And she said, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, then you can do my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not, you know, what are you going to do to my head? How am I going to look?
Absolutely. Right.
Those are the types of questions that I ask people who I then support and give business to. So that's what an awakened entrepreneur is to me.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
Yep.
Okay, you, Susan.
Well, I kind of take a different approach to this specific. And it all comes, I really, really do, because number one, as an entrepreneur, I've never had a job in my life. Never would, never could. Nobody would have me. And you know that. I am too opinionated, and I know exactly the direction or how I want to do something. So what I've learned as an entrepreneur since I was 11 years old, I've had a house-to-house business starting at 11 years old, and is number one, just like you just said, Brandy, you walked in, you wanted to know that somebody cared enough about what they did to give you what you wanted, not what they wanted you to have. That's called trust. And so the number one thing, I don't care if it's a client you're selling to, a client you're servicing, a person you're coaching, your church or somebody or a group of people you're pastoring or leading in any kind of way, the number one thing, if you want a loyal friend, customer, someone that's going to spread the news of what you do, it's number one, can I trust you? And number two is how whatever you're doing with me, for me, to me, how do you make me feel? How do I leave you feeling? Do I feel different than when I came? And I guarantee you, Brandy, you walked out of there feeling like $1 million if she did what you were asking her to do, to make how you wanted to feel on your special birthday. That's if people got that, ladies, people just got that. This is not, you know, I grew up hearing, you know, treat people the way they want to be, treat people the way you want to be treated, the way you want to be treated. No, treat people the way they want to be treated. They will fill your space, not because of what you did, but how you made them feel. They'll fill it out for you. If entrepreneurs would just get that, take your eyes off yourself, place it on that person or people that you are serving, and let me tell you something, your boat will always be full. That's what I learned. That's awakened entrepreneur, in my opinion. Think about
that's
this.
Awesome.
If you walk into a store, and you want to just go kind of wander around, kind of see what's new, and all of a sudden you got this lady or man or whomever running over. Try on this. Please buy my clothes. Please buy my bag. And you're going, stop. Go away. What people, entrepreneurs need to understand, and I don't care if it's a product or a service, people love to buy, but they hate to be sold. Hate it. Don't chase me around the store. I will hurt you. Even if I wanted
that
something there, I will walk out, man. I will walk out. And that's what people on the internet don't get. The vast majority, they don't. Please buy my product. Please buy my product.
Mm-hmm.
Here, blabber. It's just blabber.
Yeah.
Absolute blabber. Build a friend. Build a relationship. Build a loyal partner in business and in life. That's true awakened entrepreneurialism.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I teach anyway. So that's my
good
story, and I'm sticking to it.
You know, Nelson
Mandela.
I love
your story, and I think it's
isn't it wonderful? I know Nelson Mandela said if you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head. If you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart. And that's so true. You know, as entrepreneurs, we think we know what our clients need, but that's why I am constantly surveying and asking, you know, what is your single biggest frustration or pain when it comes to this or when it comes to that? Because they would tell you what it is that they want, a need, and then you go back and you create an agenda around it. And so that is about, because I still believe that, you know, entrepreneurship is about, you know, solving people's problems and serving their needs. And we have to get away from seeing people as a transaction. And I often tell people, I say, well, if you can't, you know, hire me for this or you can't do business with me, maybe you can't afford it, this okay, because I give so much free stuff out there that you can still benefit from it. So just, you know, continue to connect with me, because everybody's not a transaction. And sometimes you're right. Women don't like to be sold. What we want is women want to, you know, we want community. So I've always built my business around community. Even when I had my performing arts center, we were like a big family, the moms, the dad. And I remember going to a conference with my students and with my models and stuff and actors and dancers and singers. And this guy asked me, he said, how do you get such family support? He said, you have parents, fathers there working with you. And, you know, because we had the parents team and they did things. And I said, because we're a community, I created a community. I created a family. And you drop people in a community, create a culture.
Yep.
Because, you know, you have your own language, you have your own music, you have your own style, your own culture, and they become a part of that, a sense of belonging. And then you drop your product or your service in that. And nobody thinks they're being sold. You know, and they're not, because you have created a community. And I think that is what is missing. That's why I hate these formulas, you know, this three-step formula or this seven-step formula, and you're going to have six figures in the next 2 weeks. You know, you're going to make $1 million in the next 2 weeks and that kind of stuff. It's like, and then I got to do this funnel and I got to do that funnel and I got to do this and I got to do, and then it's not authentic marketing. And I'm not knocking anyone who does that. All I'm saying is I think we're moving into a season. You know, there are seasons and there are cycles. And I think we're moving into a season and to where people don't have to do business with you. You know, I'm hearing people say all the time, well, I just went to Amazon and found a better price. You know, I went here and I got. So they can always shop by price and find a better price.
Mm-hmm.
But can they find a better service? You know, can they find a better connection? Can they find. I believe that people stay with me. I have people coach with me, you know, seven, eight years, then they will not stop coaching with me. But why do they stay so long? But I may not necessarily be the best coach. I'm just another coach, another way. But it's about what we create, you know, what we create there. And
it's about your heart and the relationship that they have with you that they've developed over time. And I believe that those heart experiences are what will keep people coming back to you, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk briefly about this whole concept of funnels and all of these tips and tricks to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there are a lot of people. you know, I believe there are a lot of people out here who don't know how to market their products and services, who don't know how to get beyond and above all of the noise that's out there and all of the marketing, because you have a lot of people selling lots of things, whether they're quality or not, they're using all these tips and tricks to do it. And so I think employing some of, I don't believe that employing some of those strategies is wrong. I just believe that you still have to put your whole self into the strategy that you're creating and develop a strategy that works uniquely for your brand, your product, and your service. Because if you don't have some type of a strategy, who's going to see you? I mean, we can talk all day about word of mouth, but someone has to see you first. Someone has to know that you have something that they're interested in to start with. And so I think some of those those methods can be useful to get beyond the noise, because I will tell you, I just did a book fair this past weekend, and I have a book. Well, when you look at covers of books, right, the books, you don't know what's in them. You haven't read it yet, so you don't know if the content is great. You don't know if that's something that you really want to read. You're reading the back. You're maybe looking at the cover art to see if it's something that's impressive or important to you. But I have gotten so many books home, and I'm like, what the hell? What did I just buy?
Yeah.
This is
what was I thinking?
But I did not read chapters in the book before I picked it up. You know, I just picked it up off of the look and the feel of the book. And so I know that that attracts people, and people are spending money based off of that, because if it didn't, then I wouldn't have so many books that are garbage. So I think you have to have a combination of the two. You've got to have the stellar look and feel. Like, our flyer for this show is amazing. It's dope. It's wonderful. It's got to look right.
Thank you.
But then it also has to have the substance to back it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. You have to pick what's right for you, because if I take on a strategy that doesn't feel authentic for me, then that's what's going to show up. That's the energy that's going to show up. So when, you know, I believe, of course, you know, Susan, we always says that great companies, good companies are people supported, great companies are system supported. And you do, I believe in systems. I do believe in having systems in your company, because, you know, there is just absolutely no way that my business could have survived the past 8-9 months of what I went through in my personal life, with all the losses and the deaths and the sickness and stuff. Because if I didn't have systems supporting my business would have died months ago.
That's right.
You know? And but because I knew the importance of having systems and having strategies in place, and I don't wait until each month to do that. I go from September to September. So September of this year, I know what my income and what my business is going to look like for 2019. So again, because I have strategies and I have systems in place, it's just we've got to decide on what's the right systems for our company and what's in alignment with our mission and what's in alignment with our brand. Like, there's what Brandy does with her company and how she does it, and you know, she's this branding guru too, this PR, this marketing guru. She does it with such ease and grace, and that you know, I can't do it exactly like her because I'm not Brandy, and I don't service probably the same people that she do. And those are a lot of the things that we don't get when we jump on and we do all these freebies, and we don't invest in, you know, a real teacher or a real coach or a real mentor, and invest the time, even if it's not the money, the time, to find out what's working behind the door. What's the machine? How is that machine working behind it? Because all we see is what's on the outside, and then we try to duplicate it. But we gotta go behind the door and the back office and see how that's working. And oftentimes we don't take the time to do that, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you're your own expert. Yeah. And you're your own, when you don't do that work to figure out exactly who you are before you go into a business venture, you've messed up. Because you don't know how to deal with things as they come to you. You don't know what your memes should say. You don't know what your social media feed should say. You don't even know how to sign off on the end of your emails when you send them to people, because you don't really have a clear understanding of who you are and the value that you bring to the table. And that's marketing 101. But Susan, you were about to say something.
No, I was thinking as you were, both of you were speaking, this is a new day, you know, and people are just now understanding there's so much noise and chatter out there. But let me tell you, because of the internet and because of the savvy of some of the internet entrepreneurs that have figured it out, they can dial in to a zip code and market to you just based on what you're talking about on the internet. And people don't know that. They really, it's just like if you click on something, say on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, within a minute, you're getting an email about it. And all you did was click on it.
Yeah.
You see, I did not want
that
person.
That's scary. That's almost scary, too.
It is.
But it's a funnel.
You know what?
It's the same
funnel. It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
It's a funnel.
Pixelating. Yeah. I mean, my son does ClickFunnels for people and builds big ClickFunnels. And and he said, Mom, he said, if someone was looking for a particular type of mate, you know, someone that they were looking for, he said, we could dial it in and connect the two. He said that's how specific it is. So as entrepreneurs, we need to help people understand that, you know, who are you? How do you want to be viewed in the world? Because now the world is our playground. It's not our neighborhood. It's not our city. It's not our state. It's not our country. It's the world is our oyster now. And who do we want to be viewed as? And what, and exactly, Brandy, what value do we bring? Because here's what I know. There's if you don't bring value, then you're that's number one. You have to bring huge value, a sense of urgency, and you have to help people understand that, you know, you have a pain, I have a solution, you know, let's fill the need and, you know, get rid of that pain. That's what being an entrepreneur in this day and time to me is all about, is who are you and what value you do bring to the marketplace, and how can I help you succeed in what it is you want to do? And most people, if you have a conversation, they pretty much know, you know, the direction they're passionate about. They just don't know how to get there. So I say, okay, pick your target, and now let's work backwards and figure out the steps to get there. But know what you want first. If you could have anything, what is it? And how quickly do you want that? And what are you willing to do to get it? And now let's use the universe, the world stage, to get that, to draw those people in because of the value you bring, or your service brings, or your product brings. That is how I focus on things, because otherwise you're just, you know, stabbing around in a paper bag. You know, running around in circles.
And I think there's something to be said for you talking about the universe bringing it to you, because you have to be very clear about what you're asking for.
That's right.
Because just like we talk about karma and negative energy bringing negative things to you, you have to be very clear. I want to be a foremost expert in this space, because this is what God has given me to do. And then the opportunities
Speak that it might be. Speak that it might be, and it shall become.
Exactly.
And you can't
have power in that.
Yeah.
And you can't be afraid.
People ask for what they don't want.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Instead of what they want. They'll, I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be ugly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be alone. Well, guess what you're getting? Mm-hmm. Fat, ugly, broken,
alone. All those things you don't want. Right.
It's true.
It's just
you
right.
Change the approach and your life mm-hmm. will change, you know?
That's good.
I love
that's
conversation,
good.
Ladies.
I do too. So if you're listening and you want to, and you have a question or a comment or a share, just call us at 347-843-4620. That's 347-843-4620, and we'll cue you in so that you can ask a question. You're listening to Soulful Conversations Radio with Angela Patterson, Brandi Richard, and Susan Walsh. And we're right here at the table. We're having a conversation about becoming an entrepreneur, an awakened entrepreneur. What does that look like? What does that mean for you and for your clients or your customers? And, you know, ladies, you know, of course, I believe that business is a huge learning curve. I would not have it any other way. You know, being an entrepreneur for 34 years, it's just I can't imagine doing it any other way. I just can't imagine it. I really can't. And it has been one of the best things that I've ever done. And I for me, it was easy because, you know, my mom was an entrepreneur, and she ran and operated a hair salon for almost 40 years. And so I had, you know, a pattern that, you know, I could do this. And even after my divorce from my first husband, you know, can I do this? Can I continue to create a lifestyle as a single mom for me and my children? And I did, you know. And during that time, I purchased my own house and all of that. And I had a brick-and-mortar business. And I don't think people realize when you have a brick-and-mortar business, that means that you have overhead there, and you have overhead at home. So you've got to earn enough income in that business, generate enough income in that business to take care of you and your lifestyle, and to also take care of your business expenses, which are enormous compared to working from a home office do now. And so that can be stressful if you don't build it correctly. It's just, you know, if you don't build it solid, you will have a mess on your hand. So I believe now for me, I've always kept it simple. I'm a real simple-minded person. I don't even watch, like, difficult movies and stuff because I'm just keep it simple. Keep it real simple for me. But I got
difficult
this.
Movie.
Real simple. When you start complicating things for me, it's like, whoa, what happened? Who was that? Is that her sister? Is that her? And my husband is sitting there. He's like, I don't know. And that's because he don't want to answer the questions because he's watching the show. So I was like, Bill, is that her husband? I don't know.
Wow.
I keep it really simple. So, you know, I got four main areas that I focus on, and that's, of course, mindset. It's mindset, money, marketing, and management. And management of your people and management of yourself. It's two parts. So those are the four areas, pillars that I build my business on. And and number one for me is the mindset. I put an enormous amount of time and energy and effort into my mindset, you know, daily. And not just for business, but for me, period, personal growth, spiritual growth. And so the mindset is important because especially someone that's coming from a 9-to-5, it's hard to transition sometimes into full-time business when you come in. So that's a exodus that you have to really prepare for when you're doing that. And then money. The money was a hard thing for me at first because I didn't believe that I could earn great money doing good work. Does that make sense? Because it's heart-centered work. because it's you know you're not supposed to earn great money because you don't want people to think you're all about the money. And then it was then Ms. Wash threw me this book and said, read it. It was about how to be happy although rich. What do you mean? I could be happy rich. What do you mean? And so when I read the book, and she said, you don't have a prosperity issue. You got a wealth issue, and that changed the game for me because that opened up the whole money mindset piece and the whole breakthroughs that I had to have around money and issues I had around money and didn't know it. Those invisible barriers. Mm-hmm. That because of because money is about deservability, money is about value, and money follows value. And so, and then you had your family legacy, what they thought about money, how you were, you know, all of that stuff. And I had to, you know, just go through all that stuff. And those are the kind of things when I say go behind the curtain, go behind the back office, because it's not. Yeah. Like, Brandy, you know, you can do all the funnels and do all those things, and it still not work if the mindset hadn't been changed.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And the mindset about attracting money to yourself and being okay with asking for what you're worth is sometimes challenging for women. And so, because I'm sure that there are a lot of women listening to us, it's important to be able to command what you're actually worth. When I go to work every day, because I'm the one who still has to go to work, and when I tell people how much my book costs or when I tell them how much my consultation service costs, I need to be able to, with authority and an understanding of my value and my worth, as a professional, be able to ask for what I need. Even in salary negotiation, you need to be able to ask for what you need. So I think it's a very important mindset to have, and it's still based on understanding your value and your unique space in the world and in this planet and what you bring to the table.
Truthfully, the way I look at it is everything, everyone regardless whether they're successful, living a mediocre life, or living in poverty, it's a philosophy. It's a philosophy. What is your philosophy about wealth? What is your philosophy about living in poverty? You have one. There's no question you have one.
Yeah.
You know, if you're living on a box, I listened to a video this morning about San Francisco is now just 55,000 people living in boxes on the street. And and it's costing the city all this money because people are using the street for bathrooms. And it's costing, it's a philosophy of the city, okay, number one, I believe. It's a philosophy. Things have to change. It's so expensive there, but it's, you know, they can live there and exist there and all of that. But it's a philosophy. I believe unless someone has a mental illness, it's your philosophy away from whatever you want. But you have to figure out what is my philosophy on how I live, how I work, how I play, how I have relationships, how I raise everything we do. Is a philosophy, and we either adopt, you know, either are willing to change our philosophy, or we've never even thought about what is my philosophy about how I'm living, how I'm working, how I'm being, you know, how if somebody constantly has friction in friendships, that's a philosophy issue, in my opinion. Most of the time, I think it's, you know, it's ego, it's selfishness. Friendship is just like any type of relationship, whether it's marriage or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, or just dear friends. I think it's a philosophy. It's, you know, if it's all about me, then there's probably going to be a problem. Yeah. You've got to be some shared, you got to have some shared vision there together to create a long-lasting philosophy. It can't be all about me. You know, the song,
right.
Let's Talk About Me.
I think sometimes
people take it to a level that nobody wants to be around them because they get so exhausted by it, you know. But it's all about, the first thing is what is, it adds, if I were a business coach, which I am, but I don't coin myself as that. I don't charge people for doing that, but I am that. But the first question I have is, what is your philosophy? Is I ask you that question in my living room, and what is your philosophy about money?
Right,
it's not prosperity.
Right.
It's wealth. You have
a
negative philosophy towards wealth. Why?
Why?
One of the greatest questions anybody can ever ask is why and why not? Why is that there? And why don't you believe you can have, you can do, you can be whatever you choose, but you have to have a philosophy and you have to give yourself permission to have it. So to me, a philosophy change, you know, it's kind of like much water wears the marble. You become your environment. I've seen people that I love dearly. My sister, she, you know, got in a marriage that was just not a good situation, and she became it. And it, this is dramatic, but it killed her, literally, physically. She couldn't take it anymore. And I see people doing that. It's like, wow, can't you see? But they can't because they're living in the midst of it. They can't see it. Outsiders can. I always say it this way. You cannot see the picture when you're inside the
frame.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Can't see it.
Right.
Can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to step out of there and take a look. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes very crystal clear. Totally. So that's my rant for the minute.
That's good stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
I think we, you know, as women, as female entrepreneurs, especially when you're the thing about most men, they can run their business, but they don't have to think about the kids and the house and all of the other things. And even when you're working on a job, I tell companies that I work with, I said, your female employee is one that you have to deal with differently than you do your males, because most females have already worked before they came to work. You know, they've dropped the kids. They've had to do breakfast. They may have thrown in a load of laundry. They had to do hair. They had to, you know, do all these things, drop kids off. They've worked before they got to work. And then when they go home, they still got to work. They got to, you know, do homework, maybe Little League, maybe dance class, you know. Then they've got to cook and all of these things before they retire to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So her needs are a little different when you're talking about the different workshops and things that you bring to them. You have to service them differently. Men, they can go to work and they can say, oh, yeah, I'll take that meeting after work. Yeah, I'll meet you at 6 o'clock. They don't have to worry. Most of them don't worry about, well, I got to go pick up little Johnny from daycare, because they just assume that wifey going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we deal with some other things on top of all of this, running a business. And, you know, I have a husband that's had knee surgery yesterday, and he still thinks he's Superman. So,
he is Superman. You didn't affirm that.
They just taught him physical therapy how to walk on those crutches. So he decided he want to take these stairs. Our bedroom is downstairs,
and
he wants to come upstairs. And so I let him. I walk upstairs with him. You know, and I said, you know what, the best lesson is that knee start hurting, he'll listen then. So, you know, so I got a husband that, so I'm doing this show and, you know, and taking care of him, had to, you know, did breakfast and took care of him, gave him his meds. And And when the show is over, I got to go back there and make sure he's not outside in the yard or something. So,
hey, Ann, he's an adult. Let him do it.
Let him do it.
He'll figure
again,
it out.
So we have to have, I told people that there's no such thing to me, now this is me, as balance. And I learned
that's
this,
right.
I think it was Sherry Marie, she did a talk about it, and she said, there's centering. You can be centered, but there's no way that I can balance it all. There's no way that, Brandy, you can balance it all. You're being an entrepreneur and working full-time, and then you having a daughter that's 21 that's just embarking upon adulthood. You know, there's just no way, Susan, you can run a multimillion-dollar company from your home and have all these people that depend on you and then have your grandchildren and gear. There's no way that we can do all of this and have a balanced life and do
that's
it
right.
well. But and then take care of ourselves, but we can be centered. And at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
we're here to solve people's problems and service their needs through our business. And I just say in order to do it effectively, we've got to awaken our lives and awaken to the truth of who we are and understand the value of who we are and the infinite possibilities that's there for us and unleash your greatest potential to shine in the world. And that's what I really want to see women do, unleash their, you know, greatest potential to shine in the world because Lord knows we need some light out there.
Amen.
So,
amen.
That's my 2 cents. So if you're listening here today and you hear something that you like, you know, go to our Facebook page, you know, and Susan Walsh, Brandy Richard, you know, Angela Carr Patterson, and tell us, what did you take away? You know, what was it that you took
mm-hmm.
away? And tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about. And maybe if you want to be a guest on the show, you know, send us the information,
mm-hmm.
info@soulfulconversationsradio.net, and we'll get you on if it's something that, you know, is in alignment with who we are and what we do. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
What's important to you? What do you want to hear us talk about? Because we can talk.
Yeah.
We're really good at it, too. Yeah, and we got opinions and all that stuff.
We might not always like them, but there will be an opinion.
So, ladies, we're at the end of another great show. Thank you so much for being here with me at this table. It has just been, these past few weeks, it's just been a delight, and I'm looking forward to us having some great times to listening. Audience has been growing, and they've been, the switchboard is lit up right now. So we want to thank our listening audience. Thank you so much for being here with us every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could be anywhere because there's so much value out there that people are offering. So if you take the time to sit and listen to us, we simply say thank you. Just thank you
That's
so much.
Right.
Thank you. So, ladies,
thanks, everybody.
Any last minute words? Y'all got it. Brandy, you have an event. Y'all have anything coming up you want to share right quick?
I'll be in Baton Rouge this weekend doing a gender pay and equity summit, conversation
okay.
at the My Louisiana Summit in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So if you're in
okay.
Baton Rouge, check me out. And all of the information you've heard today, like put it into practice. Today could be your day
yeah.
to change how you show up as an entrepreneur. So, yep.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Susan?
I'm just grateful for being here because I believe that everybody has a voice and people need to be heard. And sometimes they don't get the opportunity. But if they hear someone else say it, they go, maybe I could do that too. So my prayer
exactly.
is you all create your own philosophy towards whatever your passion purpose is. And don't be afraid. Give yourself permission to succeed because you can. And we're going to help you. So, Ann, thank you
Absolutely.
So much. You just
thank you,
bring so much value. You're awesome. Love
yes.
you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. You too. So,
right.
in closing, just remember, all change starts with a conversation, but not just any conversation, a soulful conversation that awakens your soul. Hear you next week, everyone. Bye-bye, ladies.
You've been listening to Soulful Conversations Radio Talk Show with Angela Carr Patterson. We want to thank our guests and our listening audience for joining us for another exciting episode. Be sure to tune in next week, where once again, Angela and her guests will share a conversation, not just any conversation, but one that awakens your soul. To contact Angela or to learn how to become a part of her growing Global Awakened Life community, simply log on to www.angelacarrpatterson.com.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 480p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.